بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أتل ما أوحي إليك من الكتاب وأقم الصلاة وعن النعمان بن بشير رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أفضل عبادة أمتي تلاوة القرآن أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. In the short time that we have, first and foremost, let us remind ourselves that we are virtually on the doorstep of the month of Ramadan. When the month of Rajab would dawn, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as it is known, he would make this dua, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban. وَبَلِّغْنَا رَمَضَانَ. Added to that, he would increase in his ibadat, and especially in the tilawat of the kalamullah of the Qur'an Majid. The month of Ramadan is the month of the Qur'an, as we know. And today we are gathered on the basis of these youngsters completing the hifzul Qur'an, memorization of Qur'an, and of course there is one student here, who has recited the entire Quran from beginning to end in the manner in which we can very safely say is the manner in which the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum learnt the Quran from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and passed it on to the generation that followed, and they in turn, regarding it their responsibility, passed it on to those who followed them. And in this manner, the Qur'an in its pristine purity has reached us. We are the only nation can claim such a thing. That this Qur'an that we have with us, in its entirety, is exactly that Qur'an that was revealed unto Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in its word. It has been transcribed and written exactly in the manner in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam received it. Added to that, we are reciting it as closely as possible to the manner in which the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited it. That will be accomplished in the manner in which our honorable MC Maulana Shabbir has been reiterating and repeatedly saying, it has to be learnt at the feet of someone who has received this Qur'an in that manner from his teacher, and he in turn from his teacher, and then right up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with an uninterrupted chain of transmission. That in reality is the true Qur'an. When we receive it from an authenticated individual who has been certified by a person who himself has been certified by his teacher, and he has been certified by his teacher, and in this manner if Quran is received, then we can safely say that that is the Quran that was read by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by the Sahaba, by the Tabi'een, by the Tabi'een, and those who followed. So in this is the reason such madaris are established. The Madrasa Tajweedul Quran, there's Madrasa Tartilul Quran, there's other such madaris, Darul Quran, and so on. These madaris that have been established for the sake of learning and teaching of the Quran is to preserve not only the word in the sense of the written form of the Quran, but rather in its actual recitation and its pronunciation, the Quran is being preserved in that manner. And that is the most important manner, that the Quran be able to be preserved. You can take all the books in the world, the manuscripts of Quran, the copies of the Quran, you can destroy them, you can burn them, but you cannot destroy the Quran that is in the hearts of individuals. The British, as we know, when they ruled in the subcontinent, they realized that they cannot overpower the Muslims, they cannot change the mindset of the Muslims, and the reason for that is they have this book. So it was suggested to them that if you take all the copies of the Quran and burn them and destroy them, maybe you can overpower this nation. So the ulama of that time took a few youngsters and went and visited the viceroy who was appointed by the British government to the subcontinent and presented those youngsters who recited the Quran to him. And then they told him, you can destroy all the copies of the Quran, but what are you going to do? In whose heart is the Quran? How can you ascertain that? There is no way you're going to say that this one has Quran in his heart and that one doesn't have. So you will fail in your mission. And that's when they realized that they cannot overpower and they cannot rule over this nation. Khair. The ayah that I recited right at the beginning, in it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and take note, Allah is saying, "Utlu ma uhiya ilayka min al-kitab." This is the beginning verse of the 21st juz of the Quran. Allah says, "Utlu," that is, recite, "ma uhiya ilayka min al-kitab," that which has been revealed unto you from the book, that is the Quran. So recite from the Quran, and then Allah follows that up, "Wa aqimis salah," and establish salah. Now, we need to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enumerated and counted the recitation of the Quran side by side with the establishment of salah, which is the first and foremost duty of every believer. After he recites the kalima, the first thing that becomes incumbent and obligatory upon him is the performance of salah. So he has equated, or he's given the same level to the recitation of the, Allah has given the same level to the recitation of the Quran as he has given to salah. And therefore in the hadith we learn, this is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, as narrated by Nu'man ibn Bashir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Afdalu ibadati ummati," the most superior form of worship of my ummah is tilawatul Qur'an. It is tilawatul Qur'an, the recitation of Qur'an. To recite the Qur'an is a great act of ibadah. So therefore it has to be done. There are certain etiquettes pertaining to the recitation of Qur'an. Amongst them is its recitation in the manner in which it has been revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah desires it to be read. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ أَن يُقْرَأَ الْقُرْآنُ كَمَا أُنزِلْ. Verily Allah loves that the Qur'an be recited in the manner in which it was revealed. And how was it revealed? The Qur'an itself says, وَرَتَّلْنَاهُ تَرْتِيلًا. We have revealed it with tartil. And then Allah added to that, has commanded us, وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. Recite the Qur'an with tartil. What is this tartil that the Qur'an speaks about and commands us regarding? Simply, it is to recite the Qur'an with the correct measured intonations. It is to recite it correctly in the manner in which it has been read by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, observing the point of articulation of each letter, the makhraj of each letter, point of articulation, as well as all the sifat, all those qualities that accompany the letter. And added to that, to know the stops and pauses in the Quran. Where to stop, where not to stop, where to pause, where to repeat, where not to repeat. This is a complete science. This is something we should aspire to achieving, to be able to recite the Quran correctly and to reap the reward of recitation of Quran. And what is the reward of recitation of Quran? In the hadith we learn, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Man qara'a harfan min kitabillahi falahu bihi hasana wal hasanatu bi 'ashri amthaliha." The one who recites even one letter, not a whole word, just one letter of the Quran. "Man qara'a harfan min kitab falahu bihi hasana." He has one reward. And each reward, as is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every single reward is multiplied minimum tenfold. وَالْحَسَنَةُ بِعَشْرِ أَمْثَالِهَا. So each letter, for each letter recited, you get 10 rewards. And of course, all the other benefits and the barakat and all that is achieved, that is aside from this reward that has been mentioned in this hadith. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on to qualify that and explain that further. He expands on that by saying, La aqul alif lam mim harf. I do not say that alif lam mim, which you recite, is one letter. Walakin alif harf, wa lam harf, wa mim harf. Rather, alif is one letter, lam is another letter, and mim is another letter. So just the recitation of alif lam mim will result in 30 rewards. We cannot even add up all of this here if you recite the Quran. Month of Ramadan, again, Shahrul Quran, the month of the Quran. We should start from the month of Rajab, which is about to dawn. I think it's just a few more days left for the month of Rajab to dawn. Let us make an effort. Let us make an intention at least now that when the month of Rajab comes, we will begin. If we haven't been reciting, we will start reciting some amount of Quran. If we were reciting, let us start increasing gradually a little until the month of Ramadan comes. Now what happens with many of us is we wait for the month of Ramadan, and when it finally does arrive and then we want to take the Quran and sit, we haven't built up ourselves to that point where we are able to recite sufficient amount of Quran and really make the Quran, the month of Ramadan, the month of the Quran for us, for ourselves. Rome was not built in one day, and in like manner we cannot achieve that level of recitation of Quran after the month of Ramadan has dawned. Let us build up to that. And this was the sunnah practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we bear that in mind, that this was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he would increase his recitation of Quran from the month of Rajab. If we do likewise, then we are following the sunnah also. And of course, the reward for the recitation in itself is tremendous. When it comes to correct recitation of Quran, many of us may have learnt Quran in our past and may not have done it sufficiently well. We are unable to recite the Quran as correctly as is desired. There is no harm in taking the step towards rectifying this state of affairs. There is no... If you go back, and this is something we need to consider, if you look at the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, they embraced Islam, many of them, in their advanced age. Yet, they learnt the Quran at the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and from other Sahaba who were appointed as teachers of Quran by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There were a group of Sahaba who were referred to as the Mu'allimeen from amongst the Sahaba. Like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, who had been certified by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as one of the teachers of Quran and the muallims of Quran. He says, man arada an yaqra al-Quran ghaddan kama unzil falyaqra'hu ala qira'ati ibn Umm Abd. The one who aspires and he wants to recite the Quran in its pristine purity as it was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, falyaqra'hu ala qira'ati ibn Umm Abd, then it is upon him, then he should recite Quran like Ibn Umm Abd, that is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. How he recites, read like that, and you will be the closest to the Quran that has been revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu, similarly Ubay ibn Ka'b radiyallahu, there were a galaxy of Sahaba who had been appointed as teachers of Quran. We need to today, no matter our age, no matter our background, no matter where we are, it's never too late to learn. It is never too late to learn. The Sahaba in the advanced ages, in the advanced age also, they learnt the Quran and they memorized the Quran as well. Some of them became huffaz of the Quran in advanced age. So we can all aspire. This recitation that you heard from the young men here, we can all aspire to recite like that. And better than that, they in turn can also aspire to better what they have already. The door to learning is never ever closed. So if we are fine, there are shortcomings in our recital, then we need to turn to our ulama, our huffaz, our qurra, and go and sit at their feet. We should not feel ashamed to do that. Let us learn the Quran al-Kareem and reap from the reward of the Quran and the barakah of the Quran and infuse the spirituality that comes with the recitation of Quran. We infuse our hearts and our minds with that. When the Quran is recited, it impacts. Not when it is recited correctly. When the Quran is recited correctly, it does not only impact the ears, it impacts through the ears the heart as well. When it is recited correctly, when it is recited observing all the etiquette of reciting the Quran, then this is what the Quran will do. It moves not only the heart of the believers, it will move even the heart of the hardest of the disbeliever. And we have seen this. Sheikh Abdul Basit Abdul Samad, many, many years ago, when he was in, when the Egyptian government was invited to the Kremlin in Russia for talks, and as it was their custom, they would take the state Qari along. And Sheikh Abdul Basit was the state Qari of Egypt at that time, and he recited in the Kremlin amongst communists who were most of them atheists. They did not even believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he recited the Quran there, tears were seen to be streaming from the eyes of those who were sitting there. This is what the Quran, but again, let's come back to it. The Quran has to be read as it has been revealed. The Quran has to be read as it was read by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as it was read by the Sahaba and those who followed. And with that uninterrupted chain, we can still achieve and we can still receive that Quran in that manner. So there is no excuse for anyone to say, I cannot do it. Everyone can. And if you do make that intention and you do continue trying to achieve that, and you do it, and you die doing so, you will be raised from amongst the Qurra on the Day of Judgment. InshaAllah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, give us the ability that we appreciate this kalam that Allah has given us. The kalamullah is the greatest thing. What is there connecting us with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Everything in this universe that you and I are looking at, we can see around us, all of it is makhluq, it is creation of Allah. Everything is created by Allah, it is the creation. The only thing that is not makhluq, it is not a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the kalamullah. If you have to put it in other words, this is the direct link between us and our Creator. This is the direct line between us and our Creator. If you want to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pick up His kalam and read it. If we are reciting the kalamullah, it is as though we are in communion. We are in talks with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the only way. This is the greatest ni'mat that we possess. And yet, and a good example, and I will terminate with that example. If one of you was told that, listen, a decision has been taken that the Baytullah from Makkah, the Kaaba, is going to be shifted from there and is going to be moved and put in your yard, in your backyard. Can you imagine that? I'm just saying, hypothetically, if we have to just imagine this for a moment. Won't you be like ecstatic at the Baytullah? Some people have a small piece of the ghilaf, you know, the cover of the Baytullah, small black cloth, you know, and it's like honor, it's like an honor for them. Yeah, if you have the whole Baytullah there in your house, how great would that be? You'll call everybody, come. Baytullah is here. You don't have to go anywhere now. It's right here. You'll be so ecstatic, so happy. Right? Now the question here is, the ulama have asked, which is superior, Baytullah or Kalamullah? And they have given the reasoning for why Baytullah, you know, as opposed to Kalamullah. If you weigh the two up, Kalamullah is far more superior than the Baytullah. Why? They said that if you want to touch Baytullah, you can touch it even if you don't have wudu. Although it's not desirable, but if you go to Makkah and you go to Baytullah and you touch it and you're not in the state of wudu, it is allowed. But can you touch Kalamullah without wudu? Quran has said, لا يمسه إلا المطهرون. Only the absolutely pure should touch the Quran. So they deduce from this that the Kalamullah is far superior than the Baytullah. Okay? Now you have Baytullah and you are so ecstatic, yet you have Kalamullah in your house and not one copy, multiples of copies. Why aren't we as ecstatic as we would be when Baytullah is given to us? We should be rejoicing on a daily basis that we have Kalamullah in our homes. But alas, we have abandoned the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will wrap it in the most fine juzdan, the covers. you know, embellished with all kinds of trinkets and so on. And we place it right up very respectfully, and we should do that, right up on the upper shelf. So high up that we can't even reach it. You need a ladder to get it down. That's how far we have placed the Quran. Where is the barakah going to come in our homes? We need to come back to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why we use this opportunity. These youngsters are going to be completing the Hifzul Quran. We have spoken, and you may have heard repeatedly, the virtue of memorizing the Quran, and what the young person who is memorizing the Quran, what he will receive, what the parents will receive, what some family members will receive, and so on and so forth. These are all the virtues that we have repeatedly on various occasions heard. I took this opportunity to let us speak. Let us, as individuals, each one of us, come back to the Quran. Let us start living the Quran. And of course, its recitation is one aspect of it, but that's not tilawa. What is the meaning of tilawa? Tilawa is to follow. Follow means to walk behind something. When we are reciting, we are actually following the letters of the Quran. So the tilawa is one tilawa, following bil lisan, by way of tongue, to recite it correctly. And then, tilawa bil jawarih. Tilawa bil jawarih, to follow it with our limbs. In other words, to live the Quran. May Allah grant us tawfiq, that side by side with reciting the Quran, and these young men as well, that Allah has given them this great bounty. They have preserved the Quran in their heart. لَقَدْ أُدْرِجَتِ النُّبُوَّةُ بَيْنَ كَتِفَيْهِ غَيْرَ أَنَّهُ لَا يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ مَنْ جَمَعَ الْقُرْآنِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the one who gathered the Quran in his heart, فَقَدْ أُدْرِجَتِ النُّبُوَّةُ بَيْنَ كَتِفَيْهِ. Listen to this, my young men. فَقَدْ أُدْرِجَتِ النُّبُوَّةُ بَيْنَ كَتِفَيْهِ. That nubuwa has been inserted between his shoulder blades. Prophethood, nubuwa. No other word has been used in this hadith. أُدْرِجَتِ النُّبُوَّةُ بَيْنَ كَتِفَيْهِ. But that is, does it make him all nabis now? No. غَيْرَ أَنَّهُ لَا يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ. But the difference being is, no revelation has come upon them. Yet they have absorbed what the Nabi of Allah has absorbed in his heart, the Quran. They have done exactly the same thing. So that level, their level now is gone right up there. So it is important for them, the Huffaz of the Quran in general. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the same hadith goes on to say, فَلَا يَنْبَغِي لِحَامِلِ الْقُرْآنِ. It is unbecoming of a hamil of the Quran, the one who bears the Quran in his bosom, أَنْ يَجِدَ مَعَ مَنْ وَجَدَ, that he becomes angry for trivial things, like people generally become angry. وَلَا يَجْهَلَ مَعَ مَنْ جَهِلَ, and he behaves in an ignorant fashion, like the ignorant ones do. He cannot behave foolishly, like the foolish ones do. So he cannot become angry for trivial matters. He cannot behave foolishly like the foolish ones done. وَكَلَامُ اللَّهِ فِي جَوْفِي, whilst the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in his bosom. So, young men, and those who are huffaz of the Quran, bear this hadith in mind. You have a position. You need to understand who you are. You are a viceroy appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his kalam in your heart. Your behavior cannot be that behavior of everyone else. You have to be apart from everyone else. May Allah grant us all the tawfiq. Those who are completing the Quran, Allah take them to strength, from strength to strength. The ustads, and of course this institute as well, Allah take it from strength to strength. And shukran to all of you for giving me a ear and attending this. And in fact, you attended here. You haven't done them a favor. They have done you a favor by calling you here. This is very important. My Ustad Qari Anis Ahmed Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, aapko zahmat isliye di gayi ke aap is khatme Quran ki dua mein hum aapko sharik kare. We gave you the trouble to come here so that we wanted to include you in the dua at the khatam of this Quran. Not the other way around. You didn't do them a favor by coming here. They did you a favor by calling you here. So you are sitting here for the khatam of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our du'as at the end of the khatam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Jazakumullah, Hazrat Qari Sahib, inshallah. Say inshallah, we'll make amal on the nasihat, inshallah. We'll change our thinking, we'll change our ideology, we'll start respecting the Qur'an, the mu'allimeen of the Qur'an, and each one of us will keep our own copy of the Qur'an, and sit with adab and read the Qur'an. I know it is permissible to read on the phone, but always sit with adab and hold the Qur'an, and have the ihtiram of the Qur'an, inshallah. Just briefly, before the students commence the tilawat, Madrasa Tajweedul Qur'an commenced in 2014, alhamdulillah, 5 years now. The purpose of the Qur'an and Qiraat Institute, there's different courses offered, as Qari Sahib has said. The pre-Hifz program, the Nazira, part-time and full-time Hifz, Dor and Tajweed. Then there's Riwayat-e-Hafs, Qiraat-e-Saba, Ashara. And then also adult classes, the times can be variated. They have 6 ustads. Hazrat Qari Qasim Mushala Sahib is the principal and ustad. Mawlana Muhammad Desai, Mawlana Usman Umar, Mawlana Muhammad Kovadia, Qari Farooq Randari, Hafiz Talha Sidat, inshallah. They have 95 students in the different categories. And inshallah, the new madrasa will be at 44 Browns Grove Sherwood, very near the masjid here. Inshallah, we encourage all the people to participate, inshallah, and can contact Qari Qasim Mutala Sahib Damar Barakatum, that how they can spend some time learning, inshallah, each one from different masajid, sit at the feet of the imam and learn. And also I want to add what Qari Sahib is, train our muazzineen how to give the azan correctly. Last 2 weeks ago we had our ustadiya Mawlana Ayyub Sahib, and we were walking and the azan went. He said, please, the ulama, train your ustads how to give the azan correctly, because it is a call, it is the dawat-e-tamma. So inshallah, we invite the imams and mutawallis to train the imams as well. So the hifz of the Quran was completed, all the formalities in the madrasa itself. 7 students are completing and 1 is finishing riwayat-e-hafs. So we'll call the names, they will just make some tilawat of the Qur'an Kareem, inshallah. Total number of huffaz completed thus far are 22, alhamdulillah. The names are Hafiz Atik Ahmad, son of Farooq Ahmad Sherwood, Hafiz Yusuf Vaid, son of Zubair Vaid, Reservoir Hills, Hafiz Abdullah Peer, son of Nazir Peer, Durban North, Hafiz Luqman Mullah, son of Dr. Muhammad Mullah, Durban North, Hafiz Nabil Parak, son of Harun Parak, Westville, Hafiz Suhail Jadwad, son of Ismail Jadwad from Morningside, and Hafiz Muhammad Mullah, son of Ahmad Dawood Mullah, Overport, inshallah. One more.